Hosea chapter 3. And let's just read verse number 1 and then we'll pray and get into our message. It says, "Then said the Lord unto me, Go yet, love a woman beloved of her friend, yet an adulteress, according to the love of the Lord toward the children of Israel, who look to other gods and love flagons of wine." Let's pray. Lord, again, I am grateful to have and to hold and to be able to study the Word of God. Lord, there are so many people that are confused about what this life is all about and what awaits us after death. And yet, Lord, You have explained to us in the Word of God our purpose for being here. Lord, we were created for Thy pleasure, and we exist to bring glory to Thee. Lord, we also are told in the Word of God what awaits us after this life. If Christ is our Savior, we have all the bliss of heaven to look forward to. But if we've not yet repented of our sin and placed faith in the person and work of Christ, we have the lake of fire awaiting for us. And yet, Lord, You warn us. You warn each and every person in this world to flee the wrath that's to come. And You invite them to place faith in Your Son. And I thank You for that. I thank You, Lord, for the purpose that You've given me in my life. I pray that each of us that are a part of Shepherdsville Baptist Church would understand and embrace our purpose for existence, and that we would strive to bring glory to You in everything that we do. Lord, I pray that You'll help me tonight as I preach this message. May You grip our hearts with the truth that is conveyed in this book of the Bible. Lord, Hosea experienced something that really is quite common in our day. But he was asked to do something that very few have ever been asked to do. And as we look at the circumstances surrounding his life, may we contemplate our own devotion towards You and realize the seriousness of growing discontent with the God of the universe. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, the verse says, "Then said the Lord unto me, Go yet, love a woman beloved of her friend, yet an adulteress, according to the love of the Lord toward the children of Israel." Hosea was one of the first prophets to the northern kingdom, which was called Israel. He began his ministry during a time of great prosperity prior to the Assyrians scattering the people of the northern empire, sometime around 755 to 710 BC. And the book of Hosea follows the pattern of most of the books of the prophets. The major prophets and the minor prophets all pretty much follow a similar pattern. Sin is exposed, the sin of Israel and the sin of Judah. And sometimes in the books of the prophets, the sins of other nations are exposed. Edom, for instance, and other Gentile nations, Egypt, the sins of those nations are exposed. And because of the sin that's so prevalent amongst those nations, a message of judgment then is preached, and that judgment is perceived to be imminent. It could happen at any time. And then there's a last part of nearly all of the books of the prophets, and that's the restoration of Israel, which is how most of these books of the Bible end. And that's why I've said even here recently that in the midst of a message of judgment, God gives His people a reason for hope. And maybe because these books follow the same pattern, some people find them repetitive or maybe even redundant. However, with the book of Hosea, as with many of the other books of the prophets, there's usually a unique element that separates it from all others. Here in this book, in chapters 4 through 12, God deals with what he calls adulterous Israel and how he loves them in spite of their unfaithfulness. But in the first three chapters of the book, we are given a glimpse into Hosea's tragic home life. Because Hosea's wife is said to be an adulterer. But even though she commits this transgression against her husband, God says to Hosea, I want you to love her. Look at that verse again, our text. It says, Then said the Lord unto me, Go yet, love a woman beloved of her friend. You might not understand what that means, but the next phrase expresses it a different way, yet an adulteress. That's what is meant by her being beloved of her friend. It means she has a companion that's not her husband. And then also notice the next phrase, according to the love of the Lord. Do you think that it is within you to love an adulterous spouse? Those of us that are adults, we've all been married or we are currently married. Of course, there's really not that many adults here this evening, as there are mostly children. So you've not yet experienced what I would consider the beauty of marriage. Marriage is a wonderful thing. You can probably imagine yourself married and how wonderful it would be, right? To spend your life with this person who cherishes you and whom you adore. At least let's hope that's the way it is. But it would probably be difficult for a lot of you young people to understand what would go through the mind and the heart of an individual who had a spouse that was unfaithful. Could you love, that's kind of what I titled my message, could you love an adulterous spouse? And just for some of you young people that might not know what that is, it means that a husband or a wife goes and is involved physically with someone else, someone other than their husband or wife. They're unfaithful. They leave their husband and wife and they go off with someone else of the opposite sex. Think of the type of pain that would be endured by someone who has an unfaithful spouse. I heard someone talk, it's been so long ago, I assume that it was probably a preacher, or I guess it could have been some kind of Christian psychologist or something on the radio, but it's been years and years ago, and I don't remember much of the conversation or what I heard, but I remember to him explaining, trying to get people to understand the type of pain that is endured by someone who's got an unfaithful spouse. Because there's no one, think about this, there's no one in the world, I guess other than God, that knows you better than your spouse. Really, there. Even if I make it practical and apply it to my own situation, really there is no one in the world who knows me better than my wife. Many of the times, she knows what I'm thinking without me saying a word. I can say certain things that other people may not understand what I mean by them, but she seems to always know. She knows my likes and my dislikes. She knows probably how to make me mad or how to make me happy. She knows me better than my mom and dad who raised me, who I lived with for 18 years. My children, some of them know me fairly well, especially the ones that are like me. But none of them know me like my wife knows me. And if you have a wife or you have a husband, nobody knows you like your spouse. They know your strengths and they know your weaknesses. They know your positive characteristics and they know your negative characteristics. They've seen you as no other person has seen you. And when they are unfaithful to you, they're in essence saying, at least this is the way the person that's been offended will feel, knowing everything I do about you, I reject you. Knowing you better than anybody else in the universe, I reject you. I'm discontented with you. I'm unsatisfied with you. That's the way the offended party feels. Hopefully none of you have ever had to experience such feelings. But if you have, you know what I'm talking about. And if you can imagine, you can understand what I'm talking about. Hurt. Humiliation. In your mind, your spouse, for some reason, has grown discontent with you. They're not satisfied with your relationship. In your mind, something then must be lacking on your part, and therefore they attempt to fulfill some type of desire elsewhere. Not that self-image is something of great importance, but it hurts that offended party nonetheless. In your mind, you're thinking now in regards to your spouse, the things that you enjoyed with them belong to someone else. The companionship that you shared with them is now shared with someone else. The affection that you shared with them is now being shared with someone else. And that type of pain makes it nearly impossible for some offended spouses to go on living. Can this type of thing be forgiven? Could you love an adulterer? You know, there's a lot of sins that can be forgiven, that can probably be forgiven fairly easy. Maybe in the heat of an argument, you lash out at your spouse with harsh words. But most of the time, that can be easily forgiven if you apologize and use some sweet words. Maybe your spouse gets angry at you because you leave your dirty clothes lying around on the floor over and over and over again. That seems to be easy to forgive as well. Maybe the husband gets upset with the wife because she can't keep the house clean. But normally she can just say, "Well, I'll try harder." And the next day it's clean and the marriage is repaired. Maybe the husband gets in trouble for forgetting to take out the trash. But again, the wife finds it easy to forgive such an offense. I mean, the wife might wreck the side of your truck into your bridge that crosses the creek. That happens, by the way. But it's easily forgivable. There'll be another truck. And the one I got now is much better. I just don't let her take it across bridges. But you know, the Bible tells us that adultery is one of those things that's nearly unforgivable. Men do not despise a thief if he steal to satisfy his soul when he is hungry, but if he be found, he's going to restore sevenfold. he shall give all the substance of his house. And the offended man says, okay, I forgive the thief. He's repaid his debt, not to society, he's repaid his debt to the victim. But whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. A wound of dishonor shall he get, and his reproach, it says, shall not be wiped away. You can't just expect to say, I'm sorry, for it to all be forgiven. It's too grievous of an offense. I don't know, but maybe that's why Jesus said, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered, allowed you to put away your wives. From the beginning it was not so. Some people believe that Jesus is saying that because a man being unable to forgive an adulterous wife is at liberty to put her away. I don't know that I agree with that, but some people say that. If that is what it's saying, it just highlights again that it's very difficult for a man or a woman to forgive their spouse when they've been unfaithful. Could you love an adulterer? Again, Hosea here was asked to do something that God's never asked of another man. He said, Hosea, your wife has committed adultery. She is down in the city living with another man. You go get her. You go get her. It almost even seems like, as you read this chapter, that she's in servitude. He has to actually pay money to get her back. And he gets her back and he brings her home and he loves her. Girls, up here, look up here. You say, why would God ever require something like this of Hosea? Why would he do this? Well, God often required very strange and very unique things from the prophets. And he did so to teach Israel a lesson. And he does this here. Why? Because he wants the nation of Israel to understand his love for them. Because they, like Hosea's wife, had committed adultery against God. And the same type of hurt that's experienced by a spouse who has an unfaithful husband or wife is the type of hurt that's felt by God Almighty. God looks at the offense and says, is there something wrong with me? Have I not fulfilled my duties? And of course the answers to those questions are simple in respect to God. He's not lacking in any way. He always supplies the needs of His people, of His bride, of His wife. That may not always be the case for a human being, for a husband or a wife. But with God, it's always true. And yet the nation of Israel had said, God, we want something else. We want something else. In some way, you're just not satisfying enough to us. Can you imagine somebody saying that to God? There's a lot of people doing so. Lost people saying, you know what, of course they're not the bride, they're not the wife of God like Israel was. But what about some call themselves Christians? I'm not satisfied with what God gives me. I want something else. You know what Hosea's wife found out? It said in verse number 7 of chapter 2, I will go and return to my first husband, for then was it better with me than now. You know, that's normally what the adulterer finds out. That they should have just stayed with the first spouse. the first love. And that's what a Christian will find out if they go in search of the things of the world. That it was better with them when they walked by God's side. Again in our text, God says to Hosea, I want you to do this according to the love of the Lord. He says, I want you to love your wife as I love Israel. Israel was guilty. They had offended God. But he still loved them. His love is beyond our love. This is a love that most people, and I say this in a general sense because it's not that they're really incapable of. Through the power of God, they would be able to do this. Most people just aren't surrendered enough to God. They're not close enough to God to love someone in this manner at all. Most people find it difficult. Most wives find it difficult to love their husbands just because he does leave his clothes laying on the floor. Again, that's why some women divorce their husbands. Most wives don't love their husbands in a strong enough way to love him though he's lazy and doesn't provide. I believe this is the kind of love that God wants us to demonstrate to other people. He wants us to love them like he's loved us. And God loves us whether we're faithful to him or not. That doesn't give us an excuse to go off and to be unfaithful to God and to go in search of something that's more satisfying. Shame on us if we ever do that. We've committed spiritual adultery. But this tells you how deep God's love reaches. He loved adulterous Israel, and he loves us. I don't know where everybody stands with their walk with the Lord, but if you have strayed from God, you're not as close to him as you once were, the things of the world are becoming more and more attractive, more and more appealing. You know what? God loves you. And whom the Lord loves, the Bible says he chastens. And if you're walking out of fellowship with the Lord, he's going to chasten you. You know why? And he chastened Israel. Why? To bring them back into himself. He scattered the northern kingdom, conquered the southern kingdom to cure them of their idolatry. And it worked. God knows how to chasten his people.
Yes.
And he'll chasten us if he needs to. But he'll never stop loving us.
Amen.
No matter what we do. Hosea learned a valuable lesson here. Maybe through tragic circumstances, but he learned a lesson nonetheless. He learned how much God loved his people. And I hope we can see that here in the book of Hosea. No matter what the offense, God loves us. Not that there won't be consequences for our sins. Many times there will be. But he loves us nonetheless. So again, if you're here and you're straying from the Lord, why don't you come back? Think about things from God's perspective. Think about the type of hurt that you cause God to endure by your unfaithfulness. I think that's why one of the reasons why a lot of people end up being unfaithful to their spouse. They never think of how it's going to affect their husband and or wife. Because if they took the time to think about how that was going to make their husband and wife, husband or wife feel, surely they wouldn't act that way. And if you can't understand how it would make them feel, how would it make you feel? If you stop and think of how much hurt it would bring to your heart, well, you know what? That's the type of hurt it's going to bring to theirs. So again, multiple lessons that we can learn from this, but really just one I wanted to highlight tonight, and that is, this is the depth of God's love. We, in the flesh, most certainly, could never love an adulterous spouse. In the spirit, that is, through the power of God, it may be possible. But most people are never able to do it. But praise the Lord, He is. He loves us no matter how far we stray. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for Thy Word. Thank You for the lessons we can learn from it. God, I pray the Spirit of God would be at work in our hearts tonight, helping us to understand the type of pain and anguish that we bring to Your heart when we stray from the fold. God, thank You for loving us with such a great love. Thank You for the lesson that we learn here from the life of Hosea. Lord, use this tonight as something that would motivate those of us that are married to remain faithful to our spouses. But Lord, more importantly, help this passage of Scripture to help us remain faithful to Thee. May we never grow discontented or unsatisfied with what You offer us in Christ Jesus. May we realize that if we stray from You, one day we'll only wish that we could come back and enjoy that sweet fellowship again. So bless the message as it's went forth tonight. Use it for Thy glory and use it for the benefit of Thy people, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand with me. And let's turn to 297, My Jesus, I Love Thee. 297.